the Bible, God's holy, infallible, inspired, inerrant word, speaks to our hearts this morning in the Gospel of Mark in chapter number 1, beginning in verse number 16. The Bible says, "Now as he being Jesus, as Jesus walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." Glory. "And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. And when Jesus had gone a little farther thence, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the ship mending their nets. And straightway Jesus called them. And they left their father Zebedee in the ship with hired servants and went after him." See, I've got to be real honest with you this morning. I actually come to church today with about 4 sermons in my pocket. And so the more that God began to speak to my heart over the past few days, I kind of touched on what I'm preaching on this morning, last Sunday morning, just a little bit. But I really want to go into more depth and more detail as what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know about you, but in my life, especially, you know, since I was saved at 12 and been involved in some type of full-time Christian ministry since I've been 16, you know what, Jake, I'd love to look back on my life and say that I have done everything that God has asked me to do. Or I would like to say, Brother Larry, that I have been the example of how a disciple of Jesus Christ ought to be. But I realize on a scale of 1 to 10 that I wound up about a 1. And but over the past few years, I tried my very best to make every decision in my personal life, in my family life, and in my church life, based on the principles and the precepts and the teachings of Jesus Christ. And I know that every one of us should be doing that too. Are you with me? Say amen. But I realize how hard that is, because even as a disciple of Jesus Christ, we still have a lot of this world and the devil, our enemy, who is hindering us from making those decisions. And when you and I make a decision in our personal life, our family life, our church life, our work life, I guarantee you God's going to give you what you need to do when you ask him according to his word, but also the devil is going to offer you something else. He's going to give you another line to look at and another thought to contemplate as you make that decision. Whom are you going to obey? And so one thing that I like about our discipleship study and the commandments of Christ, and I'm kind of going along with them somewhat, is that we need to examine each one of those commandments of Christ and be sure that that commandment is in our heart and that we're doing exactly what Christ has asked us to do. Here's what I know. I know that when we start obeying Christ in some of the most smallest and minute things that might be in our life, the more we do it, the easier it comes. Are you with me? Say amen. The more we obey, the more we trust, the more that we live our life by faith and not by sight, trusting wholly in the cross of Jesus Christ, it gets easier the more you practice it. And so I really thought about this one, and I said, well, I didn't get to finish this last week, but I want to do it this morning. So just for a little bit today, I want to talk to you about the fundamentals of a disciple of Jesus Christ. The fundamentals of a disciple of Jesus Christ. When I thought about this disciple, and as we've been going through this discipleship study, I asked myself this question: what kind of person does Christ call? What kind of person did God call to want to call out to come and to follow me? You see, when I began to read this passage, I discovered that God mainly calls ordinary people who will simply make themselves available to Jesus Christ so that he can work in you and you can work for him in him and tell others. And so just ordinary people. You see, when I thought about these first disciples that Jesus called, they were not at church, were they? They weren't in a Sunday school class, were they? They weren't in a discipleship class. That they were neither in a position of authority or power, nor did they possess a whole lot of wealth and money or power or the financial things a lot. Let me tell you something. I know a lot of people who are counting on the almighty dollar to get them to heaven instead of counting on the Lord Jesus Christ and the finished work of the cross and Christ arising from the grave on the third day. Instead of trusting in the blood of Jesus Christ, they put their trust in all these other things of the world. But these boys didn't get called that way. They were just ordinary men. You see, they were just kind of in the work of the life and things that you and we, you and I are involved in every single day. And I think this, I got two things that I think this is right. First of all, you see, here's one thing I do know: position, popularity, power, wealth and religion and learning can hurt and keep a person away from God. You say, well, I'm highly educated. I've done this all on my own. I really don't need God in my life. It can be a hindrance. Some things such as can make a person self-confident and don't rely on the power of God working through them. God, you see, here it is. Our own power and our own ability can keep us from Jesus Christ. But second, here's what I believe, that God can call and use anyone that's available. Anyone, regardless of their religion, learned, unlearned, ordinary or extraordinary. You see, the main ingredient to being called by Jesus Christ, Brother Danny, is to be available and respond to that call. And respond. You know, and you know, some, you know, I hear sometimes, you know, and I listen. God can use men and women. Are you with me? God and women. And some churches and some beliefs, they want to exclude the women from doing the work of God. But in my research about who God calls, I found this verse of scripture in Galatians chapter 3 in verse number 28. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male or female. For what? We are all one in Christ Jesus. And God can use anybody, ordinary men, simple laymen, simple ladies. And so God wants to understand that all we've got to do is respond to the call. Are you with me? Say amen. We have to respond to the call of Jesus Christ. So if God is going to call us, what is he looking for in us? What are these fundamentals? What are these characteristics that God is going to use in our life? And I touched on this one last week just a little bit. Now, are you with me? Say amen. So first of all, I think it's evident is one of the quality or fundamentals or characteristics of a disciple is this: the quality of a hard worker. Look at verse number 16. It says, as Jesus walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. They were working. They were hard workers. When I thought about bass, the Sea of Galilee, what I discovered was around, Brother Danny, the lake of the Sea of Galilee, they were some of the richest and most populated areas in Palestine. And if you know anything about the life of Jesus Christ and his ministry on the earth, it was a lot of time while Jesus was here, he spent around that lake, ministering, healing people, calling his disciples. You see, one thing that we ought to understand and use as a fundamental is you and I ought to work hard to reach anybody, regardless they live in a trailer park or live homeless or live in Sunset Hills or the richest neighborhood in Carroll County. Listen, people need the Lord. And we got to understand that our job is to rescue the perishing and care for the dying and pull them out of the flames of hell and introduce them to Jesus Christ. What a great responsibility. On a little bit further in verse number 19, he saw James and John, his brother. They were mending their nets. So here's what I'm saying. Jesus is not going to use a sloppy, lazy, unconcerned worker to be a fisher of men. Church works hard, isn't it? We think, that's different, Brother Round. They walk with Jesus every day. Well, I want you to know that I try my best to walk with Jesus every day. Do you? Hello? And we think that the call is just for preachers and ministers of music and associate pastors no, sir, are you with me? The call, listen, when you accepted Christ as your personal Savior and Lord, brother, you got a call to be a fisher of men. Nothing more or nothing less. A call from Jesus Christ. And people say, well, no, I'm not qualified or I'm not that. Let me tell you something. Listen, God very seldom, listen, are you listening? Say amen. God very seldom calls the qualified. He qualifies the called. Amen. And he puts his stamp, his power in them. And even in that hard work. I thought about this morning as I was sitting over there, thinking about the call of some people in God's word in the Old Testament. God called Moses, didn't he? As I began to read in Moses chapter 3 and verse number 4, when Moses approached that burning bush, he was a hard worker, wasn't he? He was tending his father-in-law Jethro's sheep. When he would lead those sheep away, listen, they would be gone for days at a time out with the herds of the sheep. Listen, Brother Larry, a true shepherd would give his life for the sheep. Yes. Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep. And yet out there, when God called him from that burning bush, and Moses went up there to check it out to see what it was all about, God said, I'm going to call you. And I want you to go. But you know what Moses said? Well, I'm not qualified. Arguing with God. Him, I can't do this, or who am I? And God threw miracles of a rod and giving Moses the leprosy. And listen, I read it because I thought I was right. God even got a little angry with Moses and began to have his anger kindled against him. But what you and I ought to learn is what Moses had to learn is this. God did not call Moses for the sake of Moses. God called Moses for the sake of his people. Are you with me? The Bible says when he told Moses, I'm calling you Moses because I have heard the cries of my people under the Egyptian taskmaster's whip. He heard their cries. And what happened was the people of God in Goshen began to pray for victory and release and freedom from the bondage of Egypt. And God heard their cry and God give them Moses to lead them out. And God qualified Moses, even though he didn't think he could do it. I'm wondering this morning, how many people in your neighborhood? I wonder this morning, how many people in your school? How many people at your work? How many people in your family are crying out to God, asking God to show me what I need to do in my life? And you're wondering what you're going to do for them. God sent you there to do it. Are you with me? Say amen. Moses was a hard worker. I thought about the call of Amos. In Amos chapter 7, verses 14 and 15, says, then answered Amos and said unto Amaziah, I was no prophet, neither was I prophet's son, but as I was a herdman and a gatherer of sycamore fruit. And the Lord took me as I followed the flock, and the Lord said unto me, go prophesy unto my people Israel. What about the calling of Elisha? In 1 Kings 19:19 says that he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen. Now that's work, isn't it? I've never plowed 12 yoke of oxen, but I plowed one mule, and that's hard enough work. And before him, and he with the 12th, and Elijah passed upon him and cast his mantle upon him. One day, Elisha is plowing in the field. The next day, he has the power of God on his life to preach and to tell others, repent, because God's wrath is on its way. What about the call of Saul of Tarsus? The Bible says that he worked hard before he met the Christ. He was a hard, matter of fact, he worked hard in trying to defeat Christ and defeat the gospel of Jesus Christ. He was anything but lazy. In 1 Corinthians 15:58, he said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be you steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now, what does that simply mean? Does that mean, preacher, that when I work for the Lord Jesus Christ, I want everybody to give me the accolades and the praise that I deserve? Are you with me? I mean, I've had people in my church, Brother Paul, and if you let them at least sing every Sunday, they'd come to church, they'd come every Sunday just like it could be. Are you with me? As a fisher, hardworking, it is God that is keeping the records. And there's people all over this church who work behind the scenes who want no glory whatsoever. And for that, I give the glory to God. Amen. They work hard. The quality of a hard worker. But the next thing is this that I noticed was this, the quality of a vision. Look at verses 17 and 18. Jesus said to them, come ye after me. Oh, and by the way, do you realize the Bible? The whole Bible is literally a book of God inviting us to him. Yes. Are you with me? God invited Moses into the ark, said, come in. The last words of the Bible is surely come quickly, Lord Jesus. God is inviting us to him. He said, come you after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. These disciples, Brother Larry, had to be visionary men who were looking for the Messiah. And they were ready to follow him no matter what the cost. Here's what I think in my heart. I think that the modern day Christians, which is you and I, are too busy with all the other stuff in the world that we forget to look at the vision that Christ has called us to do. Are y'all with me this morning? And we don't have that vision that we should have for seeing souls come to Jesus Christ. I know I can get busy in the work, Brother Larry, and forget about the main thing that Christ has called me to do. And we all can. They were looking for the Messiah. There were people during the day of the Lord when he was born that were literally praying to God, Brother Paul, for the Messiah to come. And the sad thing is, when he came and he was here, Brother Paul, they didn't even know him. And if they knew him, they didn't want to follow him. As a matter of fact, one of the saddest stories in the Bible is when Jesus Christ done something great. And the Bible says, from that day, many ceased to follow him. They turned around and walked away from the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And then he looked at his disciples and said, are you going to leave too? Are you going to go away too? A vision. A strong vision. Willing to pay any price to follow Jesus Christ. Giving up professions or business, home or environment, family or friends, it's just too costly. I don't want the vision. Jesus had some very strong words while he was on this earth from Matthew and Luke that says this in Matthew 10, 37 through 39. Follow along with me. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall found it. My dear friend, I believe there's a lot of people who said, I want to lose my life for Jesus Christ, but yet they hadn't given it all over to him. To lose it all. Jesus also said in Luke chapter 14, in verse number 33, he said, so likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Philippians 3:8, Paul put it this way, yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. I do count them but dung that I may win Christ. Paul gave it all up. Now he said it's just like a septic tank compared to what he has found in Jesus Christ. A vision. You see, when Jesus calls us to a life of work, it's not easy, it's not comfortable, is it? He calls a person to invest his life, not to waste his life. By the way, somebody asked me, that hadn't been too long ago, he asked me, so, Brother Red, aren't you about 60 now? I said, oh yeah. I said, really, I'm 62. And he said, do you feel like you've wasted your life serving the Lord these many years? And I almost just wept right there because I don't count nothing a loss for serving Jesus Christ. Nothing. Nothing to serve him and give it all to him. And you see, we got to understand that there's coming a day when it'll be too late to work. Jesus said in John 9:4-5, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. My dear friend, as long as you are in the world, you are the light of the world. You are the one that's going to be penetrating the darkness of people's lives. And we talked about this last Sunday night in our discipleship, when we were talking about the signs of the times and how hard it is and how difficult it is. And that's one thing I like about discipleship, is we get to learn from each other. And I'm learning every single Sunday night from these men about the difficulty and the immorality of our nation and our world and our county and our state. And even all across the land, people, as if everybody except those that are saved have turned their back on God. And I said, now wait a minute, boys. I said, when Jesus called his disciples, it was bad. As a matter of fact, I'm not going to say some of the things that were going on in the Roman Empire and some of the things that they were doing, sacrificing kids and all kind of sexual stuff. Is, I mean, I read a book about it, and it absolutely, the history of that, it made me sick at my stomach. And I said, okay, fellas, here's the deal. The light of Jesus Christ in our life always shines in the darkest places. Are you with me? As darker it gets, the more brighter our light need to become. Because we are the lights of the world. And God has commanded us not to hide our light under a bushel. The Bible says about the church of Jesus Christ, listen to me, it's a light and it's a city, not Washington, D.C. It is a city. It's a city of light set on a hill that cannot be hid. The church is the lighthouse. And we are the church. And we need to let that light shine in everywhere we go. The call is to become fishers of men. Not Sunday school teachers, not deacons, not preachers, not administrators, not church builders. Yet how easily we camouflage the evangelistic ministry of the church. Are you with me? Jesus said in Matthew 28:19-20, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Mark 16:15, Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Jesus said in Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. In John 20:21, Jesus said to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so I send you. But ye shall receive the power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea and in Samaria and in the uttermost part of the earth. Acts 1:8. 2 Timothy 2:2-3, and these things thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others. Therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, when the temperature and the work of the Lord gets tough, then the tough Christians need to get going. Amen. Are you with me? The quality of a vision. The quality of a hard worker. But then notice with me the quality of cooperation. Look at verse 19. And when he being Jesus had gone a little further hence, he saw James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, who also were in the ship mending their nets. Here's what's two.